W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump will nominate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as his Secretary of Health and Human Services. Kennedy, not a doctor, has no public health experience. He is a vaccine skeptic.
Kennedy has already said the Trump administration would advise local water systems to remove fluoride from drinking water, though health experts say it helps fight tooth decay. He's also said he would remove 600 employees who currently work at HHS. The big question, of course, would Kennedy get enough support in the Senate to be confirmed, or will Trump push the Senate to waive the confirmation process and push him through via a recess appointment?
ABC's Mary Bruce. Inflation still not where the Federal Reserve wants it. Chairman Jerome Powell said in a speech in Dallas, the central bank will likely cut its benchmark rate slowly in the coming months. An outfit called Centers for Care ponying up $45 million to settle allegations of mistreatment in four New York nursing homes during the pandemic. This is ABC News. Los Angeles swore in a new police chief.
Chief, raise your right hand.
With his right hand raised, law enforcement veteran Jim McDonnell publicly became the 59th police chief of the LAPD.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
McDonnell was somewhat of a surprising choice by Democratic Mayor Karen Bass. McDonnell, a more conservative choice and one who's vowing to get tough on crime with plans to clean up the streets of LA, tackle homelessness and a plague of robberies and burglaries, and to get LA ready for the Olympics in 2028. Alex Stone, ABC News at the LAPD Police Academy.
Tropicana Field, home of baseball's Tampa Bay Rays, was heavily damaged by Hurricane Milton. Repairs won't be complete before 2026 season. And Rays execs have told the Associated Press that the team will play its home games in 2025 next year at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa, the spring training facility of the New York Yankees. Seats about 11,000 people. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled, sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost three games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to films opening wide this weekend, it's a bit quiet, sort of like the calm before the storm. All eyes are on next week's openers, which will showcase Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked, which is Wicked, and Gladiator 2. But there is one film opening wide this week, and it follows a new trend of badass Santa movies. Red One stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and the awesome Bonnie Hunt. Johnson plays the head of security at the North Pole and teams up with bounty hunter Evans to find Santa Claus, who has been kidnapped. It's usually an inside job. The first suspect expect would be Mrs. Claus. Red One is getting less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that stop you. It looks like pure holiday fun, and at PG-13, it's fun for the whole family. The Bruce Willis film, The Fifth Element, is getting a re-release this weekend, but in a limited capacity. The film is from 1997 and also stars Ian Holm, Gary Oldman, and Chris Tucker. If you feel like staying home, new movies to stream include Megalopolis, Saturday Night, or Michael Keaton's Goodrich. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, some breaks in the clouds overnight, and a low near 40. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-50s. Clouds return for Saturday, a chance of rain Saturday night, then sunshine's back as we look into Sunday. Highs stay in the 50s. It's 46 right now.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will join me talking about Juan Merchan delaying his decision. Plus, we will review Trump's cabinet picks, Kennedy and Gates. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Oh, I see what you did there. Native Roots Radio and I'm Awake, huh? I got it. Yeah. Very, very good. I'm on the same page. Hey, we are back here on Native Roots Radio. We're really excited. Took a few days off last week, and now we're really ready to go and really ready to support our allies and talk and get people on what's happening. And so I've got a nice breath of fresh air again, Haley. I feel strong again. I do have to wash my hair, though. It's a little greasy. I just noticed that, but that's fixable.
Yeah. If you need a little time off, it's totally okay to do that.
Well,
from washing your hair.
Yeah.
I don't know about brushing your teeth, though.
Oh, we got to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Definitely. You get that dog breath, and that's not good because, I mean, my dog doesn't even have dog breath.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want that, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we, you know, in years past, it's fun. I'm about to intro interview that we did, but in years past, in all seriousness, we used to have this guest on, and he would send us great reports. And when I had to do the best of back in the day, I even had a whole best of whole show of John Greendeer. And because of the information and the history and all those things that he knows. And so it was exciting that a few days ago we were able to interview him. And I'm a big fan. He's the president of Ho-Chunk Nation right now. And so I'm really excited to listen to this again.
Me too. Yeah, it was hard coming up and like limiting my questions for him. I had probably like 20 and I had to get it down to maybe like 8. Yeah. But yeah, he's very knowledgeable and very tradish, as we say, and grateful for President John Greendeer. So I'm excited for everyone to hear.
Well, it was fun, too, because out of that first question that you prepared for me was a grand slam. I think he talked for 20 minutes on that one question.
Yeah, he did. I edited it, and yeah, pretty much.
That's hard
minutes.
To say, isn't it?
Edited it? I know.
I know. I don't even try anymore. Edited it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stop.
But yeah, and what a great speaker and what a great leader and someone that we can look up to, the Ho-Chunk Nation, the president. And this is his second term. He ran and then didn't run for re-election, and then we really needed him to come back, and he did. And it was a write-in vote, yeah. And so that's really exciting. And he's a doer.
Oh, absolutely.
He's a doer, and he's like one of the first presidents that I know that came up to Minnesota during the 5K and wow. and those kind of things. So that's he's important. A doer. And if you're watching this, you can see he has a Gophers shirt on, which is you don't see that at all in Wisconsin, but he has a daughter that's going to the University of Minnesota. I just got to say that real quick. But why don't we, Haley, why don't we take a listen to this great interview with your help, and what a great guest. We are really excited. John, can you hear us?
I can.
Right on. Big Pinigigi, president, and I'm really excited to have you on. I know years ago when Native Roots Radio started, you were a regular on there and had such great segments. And I know in years past, we've had special, the best of John Greendeers on hour long of the president of, well, at the time, former president of Ho-Chunk Nation, but again, president of Ho-Chunk Nation, and really excited to have you on. I'd like to just talk a little bit about the history of Ho-Chunk. And, you know, what is the traditional story of Ho-Chunk people, and where did we come from? And start out with that, John. And again, Pinigigi, thank you so much for being on.
Well, thanks for choosing such a real small question. So this should only take a minute. No. Well, I'm never sure where to start the story because, you know, we are what they call, we have this prehistory going back, at least in the area, to the Ice Ages, 14,000 years ago, even beyond. So I think we try to cover everything by saying our story begins at time immemorial. And we talk about how we lived centuries ago, thousands of years ago, and that we carry this oral tradition that we still see a lot of the vestiges of our traditional and cultural way of life today. I'm going to be very cautious not to overly romanticize our history. I know a lot of people do, provocative writers, anthropologists, archaeologists. If you need to sell books, all you have to do is embellish a history. I try to do my best to find the level ground in telling the version of the story that I have been told over time and time. And it's also important to know that a lot of people may have heard things a little bit differently along the way. And when we talk about oral tradition, first of all, we're talking about a history that is not as objective as we'd like to believe. Maybe our Western education model has kind of forced us to believe what is right, wrong, true, false, A, B, yes, no, up, down, left, right. And so our history, at least the way we tell it, isn't like that. It's almost like it's been told to us, and we respect that. And I always give the example, when we go out and see a movie and try to describe that movie, no one who's seen that movie is going to describe that the same way. And it's okay. It's okay to tell that story from your perspective or from how you heard or remember things. It's when we start to memorialize our history into books and, you know, tape and all these studies, academic studies, that we start to anchor that into a thought and start to compare everything we hear to that. So, you know, and then the other portion of this, and I kind of touched on a little bit in terms of embellishing, you know, our history, one of the elements that people like to use in, especially from post-colonial times, is white saviorism. And that means that telling our story from the perspective of someone who honestly and genuinely believes that they were a part of our survival. They talk about indigenous communities as they survived by doing this. And we didn't survive. We've lived for thousands of years. We've actually helped colonists, you know, to survive themselves who weren't equipped to do so. So we, at least as far as our Ho-Chunk people go, we never owned the land. We had territory that we protected so that we could continue to farm and to hunt, to gather. This land is said to have gone from our place of origin in Green Bay all the way to the cities and the neutral territory down to St. Louis, up to Chicago, and then Wisconsin's beautiful East Coast. And versions of the story will have you outside of that. But our story begins in Mogoshuch, or the Red Banks area, which is Green Bay, our sacred land, and probably the reasons why the Packers are the best team in the NFL. Sorry, Wakanja Hadi.
You got a nice shirt on there, Mr. President. I just want to
I got a gopher in the house. So
hey,
that's right. Proud of her too.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Nate Roots Radio. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select Option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067. Or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. We're back now with more from President John Greendeer of the Ho-Chunk Nation.
You know, in terms of that, I try not to jump into the indoctrinated idea that we had survived. When we did encounter folks who had really pushed hard for homesteads and farmsteads, we had battles on many fronts, whether we were fighting the U.S. Army, whether we were fighting British, whether we were fighting other tribes, whether we were fighting environmental conditions or disease. The Ho-Chunk people have always been a fierce tribe, and we built our traditional way of life around our war bundles, bundles that had accumulated what we felt were our friends, those who we had met in battle, those who to this very day help us along the road, that we acknowledge the help that they've given us from the soldiers who brought them home. And, you know, from time to time, these clans, these bundle keepers will call for our traditional feasts where we will serve other clans and families and host them and acknowledge those spirits so that we can continue to do our roles. These aren't just practices or programmatic items. You know, it's really coming down to an endearing responsibility that we have to those who are the reason why we're still alive today. And I know that sounds a little political, but given what we had faced in terms of the wars that we were outnumbered in and the plagues that we had upon our communities and basically the scourge and the policies of termination and even extermination, the genocide that the U.S. federal government and, you know, the budding community had placed on our people, we shouldn't be here today. Yet we kept these things together. We kept these traditions alive. We've had to move them into remote areas. We've had to move them into night ceremonies. We had to protect our language, our songs, our stories, our kinships, our relation with other allies. So it, you know, in a lot of cases, it was a struggle, but mainly I think the older ones, and I mean the ones that are probably no longer here, spoke more highly about our gift of adaptation. And that went along more than just the physical, but our social, our political adaptation, our cultural adaptations, those types of things. When we were moved off into the marshes to perish, we found foods and medicines there that kept us alive and kept us thriving in that regard. All the way up to a more contemporary version of our political structure, which I still laud as probably one of the most sophisticated governments, bar none, way superior than the United States federal government. In all of our intricacies, our complexities, and how we govern, I don't think that there's even a remote comparison to how proud I am of the system of social organization that we have. So, you know, this every aspect of this question can be a book, and I don't want to say that too loud because I know there's a million anthropologists with their keyboards ready to go. Just to keep things a little, take my cautious steps here, you know, we have adapted in all those realms, you know, again, especially politically. And, you know, and obviously, you know, in terms of our business acumen overall, we have learned to understand what a market is. And we learned to build our abilities, not simply from gaming either. And I think a lot of people, because that shrouds a lot of the tribes in the Midwest and some out in the East, some more in the West, which are either gaming or mineral corporations, the way they're structured. But we've learned to adapt economically and have become a major engine in the states that we reside in, and certainly one of the largest employers in just about every county that we are in. So, keep in mind, we have, you know, well over 200-year-old, 250-year-old government here in the United States, nestled with a 60-year-old government that has surpassed the abilities of the United States, you know, their version of democracy light years ago. So I'm proud of the nation as to how we've utilized that ability to adapt not only back in during prehistory, but also today in the contemporary history where we do have cultural, social, and political and economical organization right in front of us.
We're here with President John Greendeer of the Ho-Chunk Nation. And I think you've been reading my questions here, so you've already answered about three of my questions. I appreciate that. One of the things I'd like to know is, what is your role in our nation, and how does tribal government compare to others?
Others as in other tribes?
Yeah.
Or, oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know.
We don't have to get down.
I'll tell you what, you know, I'm going to start with the back end first. You know, it's a rare treat for me to be in the company of other presidents, other chairmen, other governors. There's an unspoken language that those who have sat at the dashboard of the cockpit of their nation, seemingly wielding a lot of power, but in actuality, carrying a lot of burden of responsibility. And there's a look that we have, I think, that we share that, you know, it's not defeated. It's just, you've seen everything. And, you know, to approach some of the contemporary issues from a position where people are looking to you to provide some decency in leadership, faith in leadership, where it doesn't really come too often. No one calls up a politician and tells them how great of a job they do. they usually have a complaint or a need. And the amount of translating of just simply understanding that you have to listen with a different filter when you hear a question that might not be a question. It might be a statement built into there. And having that connection, being able to understand your people can only be done by being with your people, being there when, you know, you're needed, which is when things aren't going so great. That's when you want to see your leadership. And I think Indian country has really no room for fair weather leadership. We need to be there when there's hard times in front of us. And I'm very comfortable there. I don't like being there, but I'm comfortable there. And also not being as alarmist as, you know, some of the factions can be and how they manufacture crises or they build all these paper dragons for people to fight. And, you know, you're still compelled to, you know, be kind and be diplomatic and speak with brevity and, you know, keep the waters calm because you don't have that privilege to just shoot your mouth off. And so I think, you know, in comparison to other tribes, there's a lot of things that we're very similar at in terms of sharing and having that responsibility, but also in terms of how we govern. You know, we take a look at this on an objective basis. So we don't have a land base like a lot of tribes, a contiguous reservation. I always have to describe people, you know, what if you were the mayor of, you know, Milwaukee, but Milwaukee blew up into 60 different pieces of property and you had jurisdiction over some of them and not all of them. And you know, you try to do something nice and build a basketball court in one area, and then you got four other areas upset you didn't build it over there. Ho-Chunk has a lot of issues in terms of providing equitable service model, not an equal, but an equitable service model for folks. And when times get lean and there's a need out there, for example, childcare, we build one childcare facility and all of a sudden communities are like, where's ours? Where's ours? Where's ours? They're not wrong. They're not wrong. It's just, we have to find a way to, understand that it's not as easy. And I don't want to say that about other tribes, but it's not as easy just to go forward and thinking you're fixing something. You might create more problems doing that. So our approach is always a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit more acute. You know, just serving a tribe like another tribe would do may
–
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump will nominate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as his Secretary of Health and Human Services. Kennedy, not a doctor, has no public health experience. He is a vaccine skeptic.
Kennedy has already said the Trump administration would advise local water systems to remove fluoride from drinking water, though health experts say it helps fight tooth decay. He's also said he would remove 600 employees who currently work at HHS. The big question, of course, would Kennedy get enough support in the Senate to be confirmed, or will Trump push the Senate to waive the confirmation process and push him through via a recess appointment?
ABC's Mary Bruce. Inflation's still not where the Federal Reserve wants it. Chairman Jerome Powell said in a speech in Dallas, the central bank will likely cut its benchmark rate slowly in the coming months. An outfit called Centers for Care ponying up $45 million to settle allegations of mistreatment in four New York nursing homes during the pandemic. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brook Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost three games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba, who's up for a good old-fashioned boxing match. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson square off this weekend. Paul took to his social media platforms to troll Tyson by wearing diamond-spiked ear covers to get under the former champ's skin. The dig is from when Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear years ago. Not allowed in boxing. Paul is the odds-on favorite to win the fight. According to oddsmakers, Paul is the odds-on favorite due to the fact that Tyson hasn't fought in 19 years, has been near death due to illness more than once, and is more than twice Paul's age. Come on, Iron Mike. Sometimes people struggle after they retire. This appears to be the case for actress Cameron Diaz, who is ending her 11-year hiatus from show business. Diaz has been cast opposite Jamie Foxx in the Netflix spy movie called Back in Action, a comedy thriller. The duo previously starred together in the film Annie. Back in Action drops January 17th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy this evening, some breaks in the clouds overnight, and a low near 40. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, a high in the mid-50s. Clouds return for Saturday, a chance of rain Saturday night, then sunshine's back as we look into Sunday. Highs stay in the 50s. It's 46 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be back in the studio and we'll have a broad conversation about the outcome of the election and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Lanyon. I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. We're back now with more from the Ho-Chunk president, John Greendeer.
You know, I really have learned a lot, and I don't really talk much about this, that I'm a representative of District 4, but I've learned so much. And one of the amazing things is we have a court system, but we also have a traditional court system. And how do those two play, John, in decision-making and just having the nation move forward on things?
Very good question. I might not have all the answers to this because there are what scholars would call a lot of gray matter in how laws or cases in controversy are decided. There might be some deference to the traditional court for some items. We always have to remember that, you know, constitutionally, our general counsel has the ability to turn over really any decision of the court, of the legislature, of the executive. You know, we derive our powers from that. So I would say that they're probably the supreme law of the land. You know, but when we have issues come up that, you know, may not be articulated in legislative or statutes or in court or case law, things that kind of you want to be on a foundation to do something that is culturally appropriate first. And there are a lot of things that, you know, could fall to question. One example that where you see a mix of tribal trial court and traditional law is things like probate. You know, we never know how long we're going to be here, but if something were to happen and we didn't have a will, how would we normally handle that? You know, even our kinship system has a response to that. You know, if, you know, when my brother passed, there's a reason why his kids call me dad. It's my responsibility to take care of his wife and his kids just like I would my own. And this was very, you know, endemic to an environment where, you know, our men relatives didn't come home sometimes, and we had to have a system of care, just like the maternal side. You know, a mother, sisters, all share the same children. So we now, when we have issues of probate, which is very complex and very, you know, time consuming, you know, a traditional court has issued that, you know, in our traditional way, the decision making and or the remaining estate would go to the discretion of the oldest male family member in the household. And so that seemed, you know, a little bit more appropriate, you know, for those who don't have a will. That's kind of been the default that the courts have deferred onto. We also have things like WSCA leave or way of life leave. And that kind of changes a little bit. But the idea would be that if you wish to perpetuate your cultural way of life, that you could do so without losing your pay. And this is kind of at the advice of the traditional court, who doesn't always agree on certain things. There may be some issues regarding, you know, in terms of a culture within a culture, having the right to have discretion over things from the blades of the grass all the way to the tops of the trees are, you know, our bear clan, our leader of our lower clan, you know, and our caretakers up in the upper clan, our warriors who share roles from either or, but also take the responsibility when there isn't someone from there to do that. So there's quite a few, you know, remaining cultural tenets that sometimes get obscured with, you know, the political gadflies and their lawmaking and policymaking. But the one thing about the traditional court is if you ask them, they're going to have an opinion. And it doesn't have to be necessarily related to tradition or law. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. I just, we're here with President John Greendeer of Ho-Chunk Nation. And John, I just have to say this because I look up to you in a good way, and I want to let our audience know that John was a write-in candidate and won overwhelmingly to be president of Ho-Chunk and lead the great nation of Ho-Chunk Nation again. And so I just want to personally tell you and the thousands of people that are listening on the air a big peeny geegee. Thank you so much for stepping up and stepping in and in this time of need, especially after COVID and all these things that have been really struggles for a lot of communities and nations all over Turtle Island.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I'm going to do something I don't usually do because of my own built-in narcissism, but I want to put something to rest here. You're right. It was an overwhelming support to have me coming in. I promised I would never do this again, so I feel like I kind of came in on a lie. But you have to remember, you know, and you have to, you know, for me, I have to check my bags a little bit. And I was so worried about who the people were going to vote for. But when I started to think of what the people were voting for, it made sense to me. The people had just come off a Trump administration. And at the same time, we had the former president. And it was just shocking, you know, at some point to wake up and just not even be moved by the absurdity of the news and what's going on. It's, you know, for me, I believe our people spent a long time on the national front, just fearing this void of uncertainty that they had in front of them. From the nation side, in an administration that hung their hat on transparency, and I say this every time, I have never been so in the dark in that four-year administration as to what our nation was doing and how they were conducting themselves. I lost complete contact in the nation for those 4 years. So I think what the nation was voting for was something a little bit more closer to familiarity. People that a leadership that was communicating, even if it was just a little bit, they were looking at things to not be a surprise. They wanted to be involved. They wanted to know what's going on. I still think the apathy is rather low from the constituency, and we control how much we want to bring into that. However, I also feel like in terms of leadership, in terms of elected leadership, you know, because the factions roll so high that when we say we're going to open the doors, we already know who's waiting at those doors. They're the same people that were waiting at the general counsel microphone. They're the same people that celebrate every misstep of the nation. They're the same people that you'll never hear congratulate whenever we do anything. They're just out there. And unfortunately, the people that have nothing but contempt for the nation seem to get the most traffic because they can jump on a computer and say whatever they want without reprisal. And I'll keep bringing this up. You know, I have no problem doing that. I am serving our people for as long as our people need us to. And but I'm certainly not going to let the voices of people who are disgruntled, and I'll respect that. There's at some point the nation checked them somewhere, or something didn't go right, or they just don't like, you know, how someone looks or how they act. But at the same time, those aren't the biggest issues on my desk every single day. And so I have a good office that reminds me that we have to keep doing the big stuff. Let them play with the ball of yarn. Let them do the things that they need to do. Make QR codes, make these Facebook posts, you know, do all these things and live with the decisions that they've made in their lives. But for me, the biggest things in the nation right now really encompass the amount of homelessness, amount of you know, our plan as a leader, as a group of leaders to, you know, put restrictions on ourselves so that we can leave a good nation to the next generation. Because at some point, Robert, we're going to have things on cruise control and someone else has got to take over and make those decisions. And we don't want to leave them with, you know, bad resources, no resources or bad tools.
Absolutely. You know, we're here with President John Greendeer of Ho-Chunk Nation. John, I know your time's valuable, and you've had a full day with our veterans, and I just want you to have our opportunity to speak your truth in the last minute or so, and then we're going to let you go, and we're going to have State Representative Heather Keeler come up right after you.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, first of all, thanks to you and your family out in the airwaves. As you know, we can talk about these good things. But Ho-Chunk people are done hearing all the talk. They want to see the results. And for us as an administration, you know, we have to make sure that our actions probably precede our words. Sometimes we have to, you know, bite the bullet and, you know, make big decisions. And I'm very proud of our nation's legislature, of our governing body, because we've proven in our actions that we are here for our people. And I don't walk into this job saying I didn't want to do this. When I decided I was going to run for the seat, that I'm all in. And I'm excited about the things that we have coming down the line. We've learned how to disagree really well and still be progressive. As a matter of fact, some of our darkest days that we talk about in our nation's young government, where we were battling each other, we were still building empires. The things that they built during their hardest times are the things that we benefit from today. Mm-hmm. We also had, you know, high unemployment and, you know, a lot of health concerns. Our ACE scores in general were very high, but yet we did the most. So we can't use a lot of things as an impediment. And I think right now we are going to probably be, by the time we get done, we better be the most progressive nation, and we better be out in front of all these nations in the what's now the United States, because that's where they had us a long time ago, and they deserve to see our best. So again, thank you for having me on the show. I'm really excited to see what the next big steps that we have in front of us are going to be. So again,
a big peenigi. Thank you so much, John. Great leader. And I consider you a friend, and I thank you again for coming.
Absolutely.
On.
All right. Thank you, folks. Take care. Right on.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance, but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org. Step into the world of movement and Native culture at Niniwin, now showing at All My Relations Arts. Niniwin is translated as Everyone Dance. This moving multimedia exhibition, curated by Josie Hoffman, delves into the connection between movement and identity, drawing inspiration from dance and powwow traditions. It showcases the work of indigenous artists from Minnesota, emphasizing the fluidity of movement in our bodies, land, and community. Witness Niniwin and its powerful expression on indigenous art. On display now through January 18th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Today, I'm going to be talking about declawing your cat. So a lot of people want to declaw their cats. I mean, cats can be destructive. There is a rescue organization in Minnesota, up north in Princeton, Minnesota, called Rough Start Rescue. I've watched Asia Davis, who is the founder, I guess she's the CEO and founder of the Rough Start Rescue. But years ago, I started following her. And it's really gone from this small little teeny rescue organization to something really, really special. I mean, she does such good work for the animals here in Minnesota. She has, you know, transports going, dogs coming and going from all over the United States, getting them the help that they need, rescuing them, setting up fosters. So if you're interested in fostering or helping, it's called Rough Start, R-U-F-F, Rough Start Rescue in Princeton, Minnesota. Check it out. And she, posts, she's also like the local news that they'll have her showing pets, on the news, our local news stations, which dogs are up for adoption, how you could help. So it's really great. She does great work. So if you're listening at Azure, it's A-Z-U-R-E, Azure Davis. So she posts, this is what she posts. We often get requests for declawed cats, but did you know declawing is actually harmful? It is not just a nail trim. It's a painful procedure that removes part of their toes, impacting their balance and behavior. Cats rely on their claws for climbing, stretching, and self-defense. Instead of declawing, consider alternatives like regular nail trimming, scratching posts, or soft nail caps. There is also two states in the country where it is illegal to declaw a cat. The first state to ban this practice was New York, and New York passed a comprehensive ban on this procedure in 2019. The second state was Maryland, which passed a similar ban in 2022. And she has a little poster here that you know, tells about the dangers of declawing your cat. So you want your cat to have physical and muscular health, emotional well-being, olfactory communication, and they use the cats for self-defense and confidence. 50% of declawed cats develop acute physical complications. 30% of declawed cats develop at least one behavioral problem. Declawing can produce chronic pain, arthritis and lameness, nerve tissue damage, gangrene, abscesses, paw pad atrophy, bone regrowth, osteomyelitis, litter box issues, and increased aggression. There's also one of the incentives that we've been working on in Minnesota, the Humane Society of the United States, is that there's a lot of landlords out there that one of the stipulations in the lease agreement is, yes, you can have a cat, but it has to be declawed. You could have a dog here, but it has to be debarked. So those are two things that I have worked on in Minnesota to stop that. The reason is, and we talk to people about, you know, a landlord wants a declawed cat, but here's the thing. The declawed cat is going to have behavioral problems. If they don't want to scratch in the litter box, they're going to go elsewhere in the apartment, right? And they're going to be more aggressive. They're going to pee where they're not supposed to pee if this happens to them. And it causes more damage than if you had a cat with claws. I mean, the cat with claws is only going to really scratch your own furniture. It's not going to, you know, scratch the walls in your apartment, I guess, unless you have like a mountain lion or something. But yeah. So there's a funny story I want to tell you guys. I've never told this story on the air, and I only tell a few people this because it's a little embarrassing, but here goes. So Robert and I always had cats in our house, and, you know, some of them were a little bit destructive, and they would, you know, claw the furniture. My philosophy is, if you're going to have, you know, dogs and cats and animals in your house isn't going to be perfect. It's not. It's just, don't strive for a perfection. I mean, that goes for kids too, right? If you want to have kids, you're not going to have a perfect house. They're messy. Animals are messy. Pets are messy. And that goes with the territory. So for me, I'm not really strict about that. And I did have a couple of cats who really honestly destroyed a chair that we had in the living room. It was a very nice lazy boy, kind of a fancy recliner. And these cats like really scratched the sides of this chair. And I don't know. I could have did better about training them not to, but whatever, it's fine. And our little dog, our little Chihuahua dog, Pancho, he would jump up on the chair, and then every day he would like dig a little in the cushion, and finally he made like a perfect little round circle, a hole in the chair that he could fit his body in, and that's where he would sleep. But really, this chair was totally ruined, and when it was time, you know, it was like, okay, we have to throw this chair out. This is really bad. But I said to Robert, I don't want you to bring it outside. Honestly, I don't want anyone to know we had this chair in our house. It's like really embarrassing. So what Robert did was he took the chair out and he brought it in the garage, and he chopped it up in little pieces with the saw. And he threw it out like a little bit at a time. And that's how we got rid of this chair. And none of our neighbors knew that we had this really beat up chair in our house. But, you know, I've tried like putting tinfoil around the chairs. That works really good to deter the cat. And then finally the cat learns like, okay, this is not where I should be scratching. Definitely get a scratching post. Have something that they can climb on in your house. You know, cats need to climb, they need to scratch, they need to do all that stuff. You know, Robert and I over the years have adopted older cats where we would get the cat and it was a little nerve-wracking. It's like, why is this cat in the shelter? What's wrong with it? And we ended up having like these great cats, and we would look at each other and be like, why is this cat in the shelter? This cat is like a fantastic, wonderful animal. So thank you, Azure, for giving us updates about things that are happening. Again, it's Rough Start Rescue in Princeton, Minnesota. Azure does great work. Sometimes she even has like an online wish list of things that she needs for the shelter. And, you know, sometimes I'll just go on and pick a few items that's on the list and have it sent. You know, it's a constant battle. You know, we always talk about how many cats and dogs are homeless here in the United States, and we always encourage, please adopt and do not shop. So with that, back to you, Robert, back to you, Haley.
Thanks, Wendy. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. If you have been listening to the show,
Maggie Dawn.
Do you need some good news? I know I do. Next, I'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.